What is poppin', everyone? I am your host, Ben Carlin, and this is my brother, Jay, who will just be in every episode.
Well, what's poppin', brother? And also, if I'm in every episode, doesn't that also just make me a host?
I'm possibly willing to settle on co-host, but welcome to the very first episode ever of Popcorn Culture. It's a popcast about culture you consume while also consuming popcorn.
Ben, I have to say, right out of the gate, I really like how you're setting the tone for corny jokes nice and early on this show.
Hey, Jay, what do you call a colonel's father?
Oh, I don't know. What do you call a colonel's father?
Popcorn.
And we're off. Okay.
All right. Actually, for real though, why aren't there more jokes about popcorn?
I don't know, Ben. Why aren't there more jokes about popcorn?
Probably because they're all corny. Okay. I'm done. Sorry.
I'm so glad we're doing this show.
Maybe we should start by telling the people who we are, as this is the very first episode ever of Popcorn Culture.
Right, sure. So if you're not familiar with Ben and myself already, hope this is the first episode. Hopefully in the future, maybe people who don't watch Super Carlin Brothers will just start tuning into the podcast. The Popcast, I'm sorry.
Jeez, get it right, wow. Man. We're already off to a terrible... Should we just quit now?
No.
That's it, guys. We had a good run.
We can recover. But if you're not familiar with us already, we are perhaps better known as the Super Carlin Brothers over on the YouTube.
Over on the YouTube. We do all sorts of theory. We do trailer breakdowns. We do movie reviews, all sorts of stuff. And we kind of wanted to make this podcast as an opportunity for us to go like a little bit deeper into the topics that we discuss. I think there's something to be said for the more short form 10 to 12 minute videos that we make on YouTube that don't necessarily always lend themselves the opportunity for us to like go down the rabbit hole, to disagree with one another and sort of like flesh out both sides of an argument. So I think that this podcast is finally our opportunity to take the things that we do already talk about in some capacity on the internet, but then extend that a bit further.
I think so, and not just in terms of the depth of which the conversation about those things can go, but also the things we actually are able to talk about, because the main channel, Super Carlin Brothers, focuses on Star Wars, Marvel, Harry Potter, Disney, and Pixar. And that's like our niche. That's our corner of the internet. Those five, like almost no one's ever heard of those five things, right?
Right. Yeah. Well,
yeah. Good thing we're here.
We chose five very small indie brands to talk about.
That's what we're all about here.
Yes.
But we are of course fans of many other things, and every now and then we'll consider branching out. But it's, you know, playing around with the YouTube algorithm and stuff can be tricky. But now we have the pop to discuss all these other things. This could go anywhere. I know I can tell you Bachelor, big thing. We're surprise fans of The Bachelor / Bachelor in Paradise.
/ Bachelorette.
All things under that umbrella.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. That's pretty much what we're saying, is that we'd really love to do Disney, Pixar, Star Wars, Harry Potter, Marvel, and The Bachelor.
Yeah, people are just like, nope, I just tuned out. Stick around. Hold on. I don't know. One of the things we never got to talk about very much was Game of Thrones. That's a little off the table at the moment.
So many thoughts. This whole year, actually, as we were coming up with finally doing this, this particular project, I feel like we did it at the near expiration point of what is maybe the biggest year in media in like recent history.
There have been many things coming to an end this year.
Many, many things, yeah. So we had Game of Thrones finished. We had the end to the Avengers saga, as we know it.
We had Infinity Toy Story saga. 4.
Yep. We had the end of Phase 3 of the MCU with the finale with Spider-Man Far From Home.
Yeah, Marvel found a way to end itself twice.
Yes, yeah, which was impressive and both well executed. But then we also have Frozen 2 that just came out last week as we're recording this particular episode.
Yep.
And Star Wars Episode 9 coming to a close
in
December.
Skywalker saga.
Yes.
Saga.
Saga.
So the saga doesn't continue, it ends.
Yes. So if you are listening to this particular episode right now, the game plan for the release schedule for the rest of our content, including probably an enormous amount of coverage of the Skywalker saga, its closure, and the Rise of Skywalker episode 9, all of our first three episodes of Popcorn Culture are going to be coming out on Christmas Day 2019. So that you can get away from your family, have a big, tall cup of hot chocolate, and just tune in and get out.
There you go. If Christmas isn't about actually secluding yourself in your room to listen to your favorite YouTubers, I don't know what it's about.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
The magic is real.
The magic is real. So I'm very excited about this particular prospect. I think that it's going to fulfill a want for me personally in terms of how we kind of can bring our opinions to the table. Yes. In reference to all the things that we do care so very much about.
Yeah, I'm excited as well. I think a podcast has been a thing on our list for a very long time, and it's we've had a little goal on Patreon, and we finally crossed that line this past month, and it was like, well, guess we better do the thing.
We better do the thing.
So here we are recording. Oh man, where do we go? What's our first kernel or our first topic?
Ooh, that's a good question.
First I guess nugget.
We should have probably planned an inaugural.
Maybe we should have. Let's just start here, Ben. What's going on in your life? How are you today?
How am I?
Yeah, how
me,
you
Ben.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you that coming into the day before Thanksgiving, as we're recording this particular episode, we have like 14 million projects going on all at the same time.
There is a lot. Anytime you have a holiday coming up when you run a YouTube channel, or a vacation or anything like that, it often just means you're just doing all that work anyway, just ahead of time.
Right.
You're not really getting it off. So we decided, I don't even think when I came into work today, I knew we were going to be recording this.
Well.
But now we are.
Newsflash.
Yeah. We've also had to record some stuff for gaming. We've had to record some ads for some different videos. I edited together the vlog. We have to launch the Giveathon stuff that will direct people to this very pop. And yeah, it's been, we've got a lot to do, and it's 3:48, so clock's ticking.
Clock is ticking. Yeah, no, so that's a glimpse into the inside of the Super Carlin Brothers headquarters here.
Yeah.
Definitely a whole bunch of projects in the air, including this one, but I am very excited that basically over the next 3 weeks or so, we're going to have the opportunity to, you know, really sit down, put together some polished pieces of work. That we can then deliver to you guys on Christmas Day.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that as well.
We're basically Santa Claus.
There it is. That's three guaranteed gifts you're getting on Christmas. You're welcome.
You're welcome. Anyway, guys, if there are topics that you would like to hear us talk about on the pop, be sure to let us know. And you can also follow us probably at a variety of different places. Hang on. Where do we have our...
I mean, obviously we're on YouTube. That's probably where people are coming from anyway. It's Super Carlin Brothers. But you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Jonkerlin, JonKerlin.
And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at SCB_Ben. Because yes, I have an underscore in my handle.
Yeah, way to put punctuation in there. Everyone loves it when there's punctuation in.
It makes it so easy for searchability.
Yeah.
I'm playing with the algorithm, Jay.
It's okay. I feel like I made my Twitter handle forever ago when I had a channel called Jonkerlin.
Yep.
And it made sense to me then. And then when we started this one, I was like, this is an opportunity to restart. But at the time, I had like 300 followers or something. And I was then we're going to need every ounce of momentum we can get if we're going to try and get people to watch our channel here on day one. So I didn't change it. And now, it's just my name spelled wrong.
Love that. Do you get questions about that? I don't know. I never hear you complain about it, which is unlike you.
No, I don't really get questions about it. People just sort of accept that that's my online username. And I find it personally, I think I'm the only one who has a problem with it because I just wish it was clearer. Like, I'm always wondering if people are searching for me and they can't find me, or if they think this can't be right, his name is spelled wrong.
Sure.
Or I think people are just learning to spell my name wrong. I don't know if any of that's true, but
Yeah, I feel like it doubles down with you a little bit, though, because in the real world, your name is Jonathan.
Yeah.
And that is what everyone in the real world calls you.
Yeah.
Basically, other than me.
Yeah.
Who was pretty much the only person who's ever called you Jay, but because I've done it on the internet, that is now how everyone knows you.
Yes.
And just as Jay, the letter J.
The letter J.
I feel like J-A-Y is pronounced differently. Like, that's J.
Yeah.
And this is J.
I hear it.
Yeah.
No, I know what you're talking
everybody
about.
Everybody at home can hear it, too.
Everyone at home can hear it. Yes. That is a weird phenomenon where in my whole life, mom would call us Jonathan, Benjamin, and Tyler at home, and that was like a mouthful to call us to the dinner table, so she would just shorten it to JB and T, but Benjamin and Tyler have pretty obvious shortened versions of their name at just Ben and Ty.
Right.
So, which is what most people called you guys anyway. And I know what you're all thinking. Wait a minute. Doesn't Jonathan just shorten down to John? And you'd be totally correct about that. Except that that's our dad's name. And that wouldn't make anything less confusing. So, somehow, most of the family ended up just calling me Jay for short because of how we got called to dinner. And it was really just a family thing. Even, like, everyone else in my life just either called me Jonathan or Carlin. And then you started calling me Jay on the internet. And
yeah, I feel like I'm getting gypped out of credit for your name here. I feel like the dinner table call, no way, man.
No way. I feel like that's where you got it from.
Oh, No. I'm a nicknames person through and through.
There it is.
There's been that. I feel like, literally, actually, your middle name is Lewis. And I feel like for a long time I called you, like, Looney. Oh. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, something like that. That was a strange, like, summer. It was like one summer.
I'm trying this out. I'm gonna see if it sticks.
Yeah. Actually, I think it was the spawning of maybe even MySpace, where I was like trying to come up with like fun captions other than just like, here's my brother Jonathan, and it's like, there's Looney making a weird face again, and it made so much more sense. But anyway, on your names part two complaint list. For my whole life, I always, unlike sports teams, wanted to be called Carlin.
Yeah.
But because you were always that year and a half, 2 years ahead of me, I like, you always beat me to that punch.
Oh.
And so it was always, I always got this, Lil Carlin.
Lil Carlin.
And it was like, screw that.
So much worse.
So much worse.
So much worse.
Way worse. Very disappointing.
Yeah.
So, you know, now I feel like I've almost maybe moved past this aspiration for anybody in the world to ever just call me Carlin.
Well, I think because you and I in our personal lives, now, like growing up, people would, like just my friends would call me Carlin a lot. You know, people call each other by their last names frequently in high school.
Absolutely.
Or whatever. And I think because in our adult social circles and in most, even professional circles, you and I sort of arrive as like a package deal everywhere. And so neither of us gets to be called Carlin anymore.
Oh, yeah. Right,
like,
right.
No one calls me that. And it's so weird because for so long that was like, my name half of the time.
Right. No, absolutely. Yeah. But you're absolutely right because we have like the same friends. We're business partners together. So virtually under almost every circumstance, anywhere we are there together in some capacity.
So no one would just say Carlin because that would mean either of us.
Right.
Yeah. Mm. So we've gypped each other out of that name.
So do you feel like so far our podcast that's supposed to be about pop culture as it relates to things you would consume while eating popcorn?
Yeah.
Do you feel like discussing the origins of our own individual names has been like a really good start for us?
I think this is the nature of all podcasts, Ben, is that you set out to talk about a certain thing. And I'm sure as time goes on, we will come in with specific topics. But almost unavoidably will you veer off. And eventually, the pop will have a complete life of its own. I mean, do you have a specific media-related topic you would like to discuss?
No, absolutely not.
No, okay.
For sure not. No, I want to save that for our first three episodes.
Preview episode to see what you're going to get, nothing like what you're going to get.
100% non-representative of what the rest of the product will look like, except for when we tangent, which will be always.
If we're not going to discuss media, we should discuss what's your relationship with popcorn like?
What is my relationship with popcorn like?
Yeah.
Man, fantastic question. This is the type of thing where I feel like we are innately non-unique in this particular manner. In that, like, we've always said when we were growing up, we watched all of the movies, you know, everything Disney, Pixar, Star Wars, Harry Potter, Marvel. Yeah. Like, we watched them, like, on repeat, yeah, and we were just constantly consuming it to the point where we had become, like, unbeknownst to ourselves, experts on it.
Sure.
But the weird thing about it is that almost everyone who tunes into our channel or, you know, any of our media, all seem to have that in common.
Is that they, like, watched those products a lot?
Yes, and it seems like kids in general, like the friends mm-hmm. that we have that have kids, like they say, like, oh my gosh, I've seen Cars 2 like 400,000 times or whatever, right. And you're like, oh my god, why Cars 2? Like, Cars 1 is so much better.
Yeah.
But like Cars 3 is like, I don't know, the further I get from it, the less it feels like it's even in the running.
Like, you think it's worse than Cars 2?
I don't think it's worse than Cars 2. It's just almost like not noteworthy enough to talk about.
It just sort of feels like it happened, it came and it went. Like, Cars 1 was good because it's, like, one of those original Pixar movies. And then Cars 2 was notable for how bad it is. And then Cars 3 is just, like, a thing that happened.
It's just, like, a thing that happened. Like, it's not so good that you really want to go back and watch it again, or so bad that you can consistently bash it.
Right.
It's just not really anything.
It's just there.
But how this all relates to popcorn, which was what your original question is, where are we? Is, okay, so I feel like our relationship with popcorn has been funny because I feel like it's almost the same way. So when we were growing up, every Sunday night was like movie night in our household.
Yes.
Right? So we would always make popcorn, 3 minutes on the microwave, take it out with about 48 seconds left.
43.
43? Ooh, seconds. Okay. So maybe mine were a little like under pop.
Maybe. Maybe you had a few extra kernels down there.
Man, that's upsetting. But as time has gone on, I think Tyler, our younger brother, 1 year for science fair, was doing a run of tests to see if these different things that you did to popcorn kernels affect the poppability of the kernels.
Yeah, I think he was soaking them in water for various amounts of time.
Right. I believe the way that a kernel pops is basically that there is a small amount of moisture inside of it, and as heat is applied, that moisture basically boils and causes the kernel to explode out.
Don't
quote me on that, but I think that that's it. So by soaking the kernels in water, what you were supposed to get was possibly more water inside of the kernel, which maybe would either yield more soggy popcorn or a larger popcorn, depending on which way you wanted to look at it.
Yeah.
I didn't actually think soggy popcorn was going to be a problem. I didn't think the shell was permeable enough.
And did it pop less? That was the case. Soaked popcorn did less.
I think it popped less.
Yeah.
Yes. But through Tyler's experiment with that, I believe that our family mastered perfect stovetop popcorn.
Oh, this there can be no doubt. This is a thing where mom would make this like stovetop kettle corn stuff. you've heard of it. Kettle corn. Every week, and it was like crack. Like, it was so good. And she just showed us how to make it. Could not be easier. You probably can't do it because your last name's not Carlin. Don't even try it at home.
Sorry, it's a bit of an exclusive club.
Bit of a family secret on how you make stovetop kettle corn.
Are you about to tell them?
Absolutely not. You can wonder forever. But it's not hard at all. You probably, if you have any guess as to how you do it, you're right. That's it. That's probably how. But I went to college, and I would, you know, be like, oh, man, I'm feeling some popcorn right now. And I would make it. And it was like a thing I couldn't believe how nuts people were over the popcorn. Like, certainly you know how to make this, right? No, they did not. So I remember, like, bringing a bowl of popcorn to, like, some parties sometimes. Like, this is my contribution. And people would, at first, think, wow, you brought a bowl of popcorn.
For that to be the thing you bring to a party, it's a little, like, underwhelming.
It was underwhelming, but sure enough, come halftime, people are done with all the main courses. They start discovering the secret popcorn. Oh, yeah. It was a hit every time.
No, this is going to sound so weird, but to me, my ability to make good popcorn was, like, something I valued in, like, my dating world.
Oh, wow.
So it was like the idea of, like, having a girl come over and watch a movie in, like, at mom and dad's house when we were kids or whatever. The, like, real point, it wasn't, like, the clothes I wore. It wasn't my personality. It wasn't my sense of humor. It was like, I'm about to make you some of the best popcorn ever.
Ever.
And it was like, and again, like we said, it's not hard to make. Like,
no.
It wasn't like I was accomplishing some culinary feat.
No.
And yet I was like, unreasonably proud.
It's all about attitude. If you're so proud of it, sometimes that can add to the flavor.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. You're adds like, a little extra
wait,
essence.
Just wait till you try this.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
It builds the expectation, the hype.
Yeah.
Which could never be let down.
My wife is not as into popcorn as I am. Like, I would say for me, it's probably my favorite snack. Like, if I'm just, like, at home watching TV at night.
Sure.
But the thing is, it's really better as a shareable, you know?
Yeah.
One person, not always capable of taking down a whole bowl of popcorn.
Right.
So sometimes I'm like, oh, I have popcorn. And Beth will just... She's like, I don't like it as much as you. And I'm like, I know you don't.
Come on.
I know.
Letting me down over here.
A little bit.
There's
a
nothing,
little bit.
Dude, there's nothing worse than wanting junk food and the other person not wanting it. Because then you just feel guilty. It's like, you want a bowl of ice cream? And it's like, no,
you can have one.
I'm not going to eat ice cream alone.
I'm not crazy. I'm not a monster. That is, if you are off. If you're off the healthy schedule with your significant other, it is the worst for both parties. Because I think there's like a weird phenomenon where even though everyone knows you should eat healthy, if you're like actively trying to eat healthy, I feel like I have experienced many times what I would call like health shaming almost.
Okay.
Have you ever gotten this? Where you're just like... Everyone's like at lunch and they're ordering something. You're like, I'll have the salad. And people are like, it's like everyone's like, they're not really mad at you. They're just upset that you're being healthy because it makes them feel bad that they're not.
Yes.
And the way they handle it is to like shame you for being healthy. And it is this weird obstacle because you're doing the right thing.
Yes.
And like taking care of yourself or like trying to be healthy. That I find to be one of the biggest obstacles to being healthy in social settings.
Really? It's like the scrutiny from others.
Yes!
Weird!
Yeah, have you not experienced this? Or maybe you don't actively try as much.
Maybe I don't eat healthy enough.
Maybe.
Yeah. Is the only explanation that I can imagine. No, this is like a funny thing because if anything, I'll usually feel guilty for getting like something extra unhealthy on top of my already unhealthy. So like... One of our favorite lunch spots, we go and me and you get these boneless wings.
Yeah.
And every time, the place has these fries that I love.
Yeah.
So I will always get a side of fries on top of my boneless wings.
Yeah.
And that's usually me feeling just double guilty for being extra unhealthy.
Right.
But like, I guess my drive towards the fries.
Yeah.
Drive
for the fries.
Which doesn't rhyme, but it almost seems like it does.
It's like a slant rhyme.
It's just, yeah, there you go. Yeah, no, it doesn't slow me down.
Doesn't slow you down.
It doesn't slow me down. No.
No.
But maybe I should try eating healthier more often and see if I feel guilty about it.
Well, it'd be interesting to see if, like, if you got a bunch of people to start doing it, if you could reverse it and, like, the one person who wasn't started feeling like, oh, man. I get the feeling this is sort of
You mean if everyone at the table's eating healthy and the one person's ordering wings?
Yeah. Like, I wonder if they would feel bad, like... Because if everyone's ordering unhealthy and you order healthy, there's like that like, oh, come on, you really think you're better than us, don't you?
Get off your high horse with that salad.
Exactly. I get the feeling that if you were like on the West Coast or like in the LA area or something, it would be the exact opposite.
Oh, surely. Yeah. It's like, wait, you got a bun with your burger? Are you kidding me?
Wow.
And it's a beef burger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. Sorry. I head back to the East Coast with that. East Coast is the Beast Coast. You know what they say, and there's no reciprocal rhyme.
Unfortunately. For the West Coast. That's really just too bad for the West Coast.
Yeah, it is too bad for the West Coast. Oh, man. So anyway, that's my journey down health shaming. I think we've done a good job talking about popular media in this opening pop.
The opening pop? Yeah. Yeah. Where we talked about food.
Yeah. When you go to a movie theater, what is your popcorn order?
Okay. This is a weird thing. So we have a woman in our office, Jordan, who is sort of like the general office manager. And like one of the things that she will frequently do is get to the movie theater for premiere nights.
Yeah.
Early so that she can, like, you know, go and get some of like the concessions taken care of and grab some seats and stuff. So shout out to Jordan for being awesome, making our life easy.
Yeah.
You are very steadfast in your order.
Yeah.
Which has made it so that like Jordan gets it right 100% of the time.
Correct.
Like you're like very like aggressive about it. I feel like on the other hand, I am like so go with the flow about everything that it somehow ends up being like worse. Like if any, like you're aggressive about the way that you order. It's like this is the correct way to do it and anything else is wrong.
Mine's so easy though. It's like I just, for what it's worth, I just want a large popcorn with no butter.
Cherry Coke.
And a Cherry Coke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this, we're just talking about the popcorn order, but also Cherry Coke, because at the movies is the only place I drink soda.
Do you, wait, would you say that the Cherry Coke is not part of your popcorn order?
No. Oh, that's part of my movie order.
Mm, interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
Sometimes I'll just get popcorn and no drink, though.
No drink. Yeah. Okay, fair
enough.
That's
a mistake, mostly, because popcorn makes you thirsty. Which is, of course, the point of the popcorn, so that you'll buy more concessions, but whatever.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Anyway, what I really am, I'm not complaining so much about getting my popcorn order wrong, because as previously forementioned, I am not particularly, like, aggressive about my order. Like, you really can't mess it up. If you come with me, like, with gallons of butter on it, I'll still eat it.
Yeah.
If it has no butter, I'll still eat it.
Yeah.
I usually get a Sprite is my thing, but really what I want to complain about is airplane seats, because that's totally relevant. So including your steadfast nature about your popcorn order,
yeah,
you have a steadfast order about which airplane seat you want.
Oh yeah. I want the window seat.
You want the window seat like a psychopath. So I am easygoing about almost everything. I only want the aisle seat. That is the only seat that I want, is the aisle seat.
So you can get up.
So that I can get up.
Right.
Yes. Because I learned very early on in my airplane travels that I was someone who was so afraid to ask the person next to me to get up that I would frequently get off the plane and have to go to the bathroom so badly,
yeah,
that I was like in physical agony.
Yeah. This is a problem. If you're flying with people you know and they're going to be the one sitting next to you, it is much easier to request the window seat because you won't have to deal. Like if you're 3 deep at the window and the 2 people next to you are strangers, even to each other, and you have like a long flight that might involve people going to sleep, oh boy.
You're not getting up.
There's like, it's, I mean, you're going to have to be in physical pain because it takes a lot of courage to be like, hey, I need to go to the bathroom. Can you? Because the thing about going to the bathroom on the plane, if you're 3 deep at the window,
is they have to get up again.
Is they're going to get up twice.
Yep.
They're going
to
get up to let you back in.
Who wants that horror just so they can see the runway when you take off?
No, it's not the runway when you take off. It's the ground while you're in the air.
Sure.
Like, I enjoy the view from a plane so much that that's why I like the window seat, is because I can see out the window.
No, I understand that. Yeah, I understand that there is literally no other reason why anybody would want the closest seat to the wall.
Exactly. Now, the absolute, this is the worst though, is that I don't know why, but I would say on almost 80% of the flights that we get on, it took a while before like it became known that I liked the window seat, but every now and then I would just get it at random. And on, I would say, 4 out of 5 tries, I would also, you'd have the window seat, but then you'd also be right above the wing, which is the worst window seat, because you can't see through the wing.
Oh, yeah,
at the
ground. It's true. And there's the most amount of rumble.
Yes.
Have you ever felt like a shocking number of seats are over the wing?
I have, because the number of times I'm like, yes, I get to like look out and see the city as we fly away or whatever is great. And then I'll look down and be like, how am I over the wing again?
Right,
and
right.
So often, maybe the wings are just that. They take up, maybe the wings take up like 30% of the.
It's way more of the plane than you think.
And of course, if you're in, and it's not really 30% because you don't have a chance of sitting in first class. So like that's 100% not wing. So like of the remaining, maybe it's more like 50% or above the wing. And otherwise you're in the back. I don't know. Best case scenario, you are like the very front row on not first class, meaning you have all the legroom.
All the legroom.
Hopefully it's a plane that is like has a row of seats that is a single row of seats on one side. So then you have both the aisle and the window,
ooh,
and you're not above the wing. That's the prime.
That's like the. Oh.
Yeah, that's the best one. You have leg room, window, aisle. Ooh, now we're talking.
Do you think that physical seat literally glows when you see it?
I think it does.
Yeah. As a feature of the Boeing 747.
Yeah.
Whatever it's called. It is a feature. Yeah, it's like you got the golden chair.
There you go. That's the one.
Which somehow sounds like a toilet. That's not what I was going for.
I think that's the porcelain throne.
Which, okay, fair enough. Anyway, the point is, though, is that once upon a time, you were really adamant about your popcorn order, and somehow that led to me getting middle seats.
Oh. Yeah. I'm sorry, I don't know.
You don't know how this connection's happening?
I don't know how that's happening.
I feel like I don't even know either. It's like, I envy your ability to be so specific and outspoken about the things that you specifically want that you get them.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel that if I do that exact thing, the world will intervene and,
and stop it.
And stop it. But instead, what really happens is I'm like too soft-spoken about every single thing, and then I end up being in the middle seat.
Ben, what you're failing to realize is what you think is a simple thing on my part is actually a 31-year-old process of exactly the way I live my life.
No way.
It is a very practiced way to get specific things.
So you think about this.
Well, no. Well, so here's the thing. What I mean is, like, on our channel, on YouTube, like, we don't talk about, like, politics or religion or, like, anything like that.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, of course. Right.
So the thing is, in real life,
I don't know about any of those things anyway. So
that's the thing. Because first of all, I don't feel qualified to talk about so many of those things, but that's not the point. But in real life, like, I don't like talking about those things in real life either.
Sure.
Right. But that doesn't mean I don't like to, like, have serious discussions. But so the way I've solved it is to have serious discussions about, like, what's the maximum way to have serious discussions about things that don't, is to make them about things that don't matter.
Oh, sure.
So, like,
okay,
the whole channel is like, let's get real serious about Harry Potter. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how serious or how one-sided you are on one argument or the other, because it's not like you're voting for president.
Sure, it is something that is meant to be enjoyed, and your opinion should not affect the livelihoods of others.
Right. The best way to have strong opinions is about things that don't matter.
Ooh.
That's what I think.
Fancy.
So this is me having strong opinions about things like window seats, though.
Sure, right. Which is the worst seat in the world, and I can't believe you would ever want it. But
I got stuck. We had a 7-row plane when we were flying to Salt Lake City this past weekend, and I got stuck on seat 4. I was in the double middle.
You were in the double middle.
I was in the double middle, Ben.
I got a hearty cackle out of it. I'm not going to lie.
That was the worst.
Your hardship brought me joy in that moment. No, I'm kidding. I'm sorry that happened to you. That's devastating.
It was.
But do you find that people in general respond positively? Or do you ever find that you are abrupt about something that people don't expect you to be so abrupt about?
I don't. As long as you're not being, like, really negative about it, it's not really a problem. But sometimes people, like, I'm almost joking about everything when I talk about it. And I think it's funny to have strong opinions about things that don't matter.
Okay.
And so that's normally.
Should we have a t-shirt that says that? Because it might help.
It might. So sometimes people will bring it, like, any particular, like, everyday object or something that I've decided I have an opinion about. And if, my friend... I had a friend and I still have a friend. I say this, he just moved away. It's very sad.
Single friend.
Yeah.
One friend.
And for a while we did the Super Carlin Sock Club where we would have, like, really crazy socks all the time, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
Like, this was, like, my one form of rebellion at the job I used to have was to wear just, like, crazy socks every day. I was like, this is a fun thing I'm doing, yay.
So was that rebellious or is that, like, fun for you?
I think it was fun for me. I don't know if it was rebellious maybe, but it was like this is a way for me to stand out. This is a thing I'm doing that's, you know, a little fun every day.
Okay.
Anyway. So I had this whole, like it is, like, my strong opinion was it is better to have crazy socks than to not have crazy socks. Like, you are doing it wrong. So I had another friend, though, and he had thought out his sock situation just as much, but in a much smarter way, which was, I think he owned like 10 pairs of black socks and 10 pairs of brown socks, and he just wore whichever one matched, you know, his belt that day.
Okay.
And to his credit, this makes a lot of sense, because when you're doing the laundry, it doesn't really matter if you lose any of those socks, because all of them match with each other. Whereas I had many a missing sock. This was like adding like 10 minutes to like sorting laundry, you know.
Sure.
You have to like pair up every single sock with whichever other sock you had. But that was my like strong opinion about this. And so anytime, that was the thing that just came up a lot.
was socks.
Was socks.
Okay. And so now, standing here today,
mm-hmm.
on November 27th, 2019, socks. What do you do?
I avoid wearing socks most of the time.
That is not helpful.
It's a complete 180, where before it was required that I wear dress socks of some kind every single day. Now I'm my own boss, and so now I'm wearing socks because it's cold outside. But like, I would say 70% of the year, it is warm enough where we live that you can get away with just not wearing socks, and so I don't.
Can we start a segment just called, "These ankles are amazing!" And it's just bare ankles.
I'm not sure that's a great...
It's uncomfortable.
Well, it's also not a visual medium we're on here. This is all just audio.
Well, that's why we can showcase literally, like, once an episode, we can literally have, "These ankles are amazing."
People can just imagine.
And people are like, "Man, those are good ankles."
Describe those ankles.
They're really just fantastic.
Yeah. No, so weirdly, most of my sock wearing these days is just like to like the gym. So it's mostly athletic socks.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've gotten kind of like less whimsical, more practical.
I don't even know if practical is the right word. I don't know. I don't. Me and my wife are very different on this point, where once she is in the house, she will continue to wear her shoes almost until she goes to bed. You know,
she is a
shoe wearing person, and I am like, shoes are for being outside.
They protect your feet from the ground.
It's so like, I'm rarely wearing shoes at the office. I'm rarely wearing shoes at home. It is not about cleanliness. It is simply about, I don't know, just freedom. That sounds too much.
It's just a
comfort thing, I guess. That said, I think not wearing shoes around the house does keep it a lot cleaner, but...
I mean, no, I think that's true. I think that you would be incorrect if you asserted that that wasn't true. I don't even know if this is, like, the other end of the spectrum entirely, but I feel like I'm too lazy to take my shoes off when I come in the house. Like, I never, ever think to do it. Like, I would feel like that was the equivalent of flossing. You know,
flossing,
like taking off your shoes is basically flossing.
It is not. It's what kind of shoes are you wearing that you have to like? You wear boots a lot. Maybe.
I am wearing my noble high top leather trainers right now, which are like my weightlifting shoes. But yeah, no, absolutely. This is something where I'm 100% one of those people who like will get home, make dinner, do all of my daily requirements at my home, watch a movie, and then like as I'm going upstairs I might like take them off while I'm sitting on the couch.
You are bananas. It is literally the first thing I do when I walk through the door is I will like go to a chair and sit down and take my shoes off and put them in the shoe basket. And
I envy you.
Yeah.
I truly, truly.
That's where I'm at.
You must have really healthy gums too.
I don't Yeah, I don't floss as much as I should, for sure.
Especially for the amount of popcorn that we eat.
That's true.
Because, I mean, nothing worse than, like, the kernel in between the teeth.
Oh, this is the saddest thing, is that, sort of bringing everything full circle, is that whenever I'm trying to be especially healthy, I will go, my version of that is just going very low carb, like high protein, high fat.
Okay.
And that tragically will mean that I abandon popcorn for a while.
Okay.
And then I feel like it's annoying because I want popcorn.
I want popcorn. It's like you have to give it up. It's a sacrifice.
It's one of those things like growing up, I think our mom, when she was on like diets or whatever, she would buy like Smart Pop to eat as like a healthy snack
you can still get away with. Yep.
So it bothers me that there are versions of being healthy that allow you to eat popcorn, but that's not my particular version of it. And also, Smart Pop is the absolute worst.
And that's a really aggressive opinion to have about something.
No, like, it's not.
No,
it's
yes.
It's the correct opinion.
See? This is what I'm talking about, you guys. This is what I'm talking about.
Oh.
This is the correct opinion.
Have you ever had Smart Pop?
I don't know. I mean, it's possible that I have, but...
It's possible.
It would be exhausting to me to have that opinion.
Oh, my.
On my shoulders.
Exhausting to you. It's exhausting if someone... Imagine this, Ben. How often are you encountering
Smart Pop?
Not very often anymore, I'll tell you that much.
was that like a conversation? Did Beth have to give up like a prize snack in order to?
No. I think once upon a time Jordan bought Smart Pop for the office. That was a mistake.
Never again.
We have our own popcorn maker now, like movie theater style at the office.
We do. It is very unhealthy. It's dumb pop.
It is not Smart Pop. It is dumb pop.
Well, yeah. Do you want to hear my story that led to me not eating popcorn for a while?
Fire away.
Okay, here we go. So the year was 90s. And Star Wars was
I remember that year.
The 90s. Star Wars was being re-released in theaters.
Yeah.
And we were going to see Return of the Jedi with some of our childhood friends and their mom. And at the end of the movie, when Vader has his helmet removed, I had this like thing happen where like popcorn was like stuck in my throat.
Yeah.
And as I'm like watching him like struggle to breathe without his mask on, I was struggling to breathe because I had this popcorn in my throat.
Mm.
And I like had as like a 7-8-year-old, the only thing in my childhood that I could ever remember being close to a panic attack where I was like, I can't breathe. I need to leave. And so like I literally left and I didn't see the party on the Ewok Nation.
Oh yeah. On Endor.
Yeah. And so I missed that, which was kind of a bummer.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, and so then for a while I didn't eat popcorn because I was afraid my throat was going to close up again. But eventually I came around, and now I eat popcorn all the time, and it's great.
It is risky eating popcorn. Every bowl of popcorn is just a time bomb of something getting stuck in your gums, which is why you need to be good at flossing and taking your shoes off.
Exactly. Oh my gosh, you guys. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in to episode 1, the pilot episode, if you will, of this podcast called Popcorn Culture, hosted by Ben Carlin with my co-host / guest of today, Jay Carlin.
Hey, thank you guys so much for listening. Make sure you look out on December 25th. For the release of 3 more episodes.
Yeah, I would say set a reminder on your phone to be like December 25th, 3 episodes of Popcorn Culture coming to me so that I can go and sit in my big beanbag chair with a giant mug of hot chocolate. But it's Christmas, and you'll know that that's what Santa brought you.
Maybe you'll have a popcorn ball, too.
What's a popcorn ball?
That's like a thing you get at Christmas.
You get a popcorn ball?
I mean, I think it's a thing people get at Christmas. I feel like the only
popcorn ball I've ever gotten was in a trick-or-treating bag.
Maybe it's a Halloween thing.
I waited for so long to eat it because I was so excited. It was really big.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, compared to a snack size,
yeah,
it was huge. And so I waited so long that I think it went bad. I'm really not doing well, am I?
Not doing good. Well, anyway, share us your best popcorn stories, how you like your popcorn at the movies, and where you like to sit on a plane, and why. Feel free to tweet them at us at Jonkerlin, J-O-N-K-E-R-L-I-N, and at SCB_Ben.
Thanks for getting the middle part. That's really critical.
You're welcome.
Until next time, guys.
Bye.